Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Hey, good morning, Birmingham. Welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes. I'd like to thank you for taking the time to join us on our show today. Remember that our show is about motivation, inspiration, and education, and we do it with never any manipulation. It means we're not trying to get you to join anything, and we're not trying to get you to give anything. Quite the contrary, we have something to give you, and that's truth. Without any gimmicks, without any games, just simply talking to you about what the Word of God has to say. Our show is called the Flotline, F-L-O-T, and that's a military acronym for the Forward Line of Troops. The reason I chose that name is because of the metaphor it represents. If you will take the Word of God and put it into the forward compartments of your soul, then you can keep the outside pressure of adversity from becoming the inside pressure of stress. We've said it on this radio show many times, adversity is inevitable. However, stress is optional. Because adversity is what circumstances do to you, and stress, that is what you do to yourself when you convert the outside pressure of adversity. And so you can never get away from adversity. You're always going to have adversity in your life. But you definitely can live a life that's stress-free. You don't have to go to the gym to get rid of your stress. You don't have to go to the lake or the golf course or the woods to get rid of your stress. You don't have to quilt or knit or read a book to get rid of your stress. There's a better way to do it. Just don't have any stress. It's possible to live without fear. It's possible to live without worry. It's possible to live without being agitated and getting angry. You see, it's living the Christian life. It's living the abundant life. It's the life that our Lord Jesus Christ pioneered and displayed for us. And then when he went to heaven, he gave it to us. It's called the Christian life. He sent the Holy Spirit, his mentor, his tutor, his coach to us to help us live this life. He gave us the Word of God. He gave us pastors that are equipped and qualified to teach it, and churches where we can go and learn it and apply it into our lives. And yet it's Satan who's distorted all of this. We've been talking about how Satan twisted into evil and the evil genius of Satan. Our show last week was on evil and the genius of Satan. God's grace, as we talk about so many times in our program, is free. God's grace has no gimmicks and no games attached to it. And Satan will twist it all up, and he will have you trying to do the impossible. He even told Eve in the Garden of Eden that it's okay to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil because God lied to you. He just doesn't want you to be as smart as he is. Can you imagine the arrogance of calling God a liar? And yet Satan was known for this. You see, when God condemned Satan to the lake of fire for his own arrogant rebellion, for him assuming that he could be like the Most High God, for him assuming that he could make the decisions, that he could sit on the throne of God, when he sinned in his arrogance, and then God judged him and condemned him to the lake of fire, the first thing Satan cried is unfair, foul. And you can hear it. You can hear it. Listen, you can hear Satan saying, "But you created me. It's your fault. You made me. It's your fault. If you knew I was going to do this, why did you make me to start with?" And you see, that's the logic of evil and of Satan. Blame God. It's God's fault. Listen, God said, "Sure, I'm God. I knew what you were going to do, but I didn't make you do it. You chose to do it with your own free will, your own volition." There's nothing in your life, as you listen to me today, that God is not aware of, but there's not one thing God made you do. He gave you the freedom to choose. He gave you the choice. And just as Satan chose to rebel against God, you might have made the same decision. And just as Satan justified why he was right and God was wrong, you might have done the same thing. Don't fall into the trap of evil. That's what we've been talking about, the genius of Satan. I told you last week on our show how I had to learn about sin and how I had to learn about arrogance and how I came to understand what evil is. I also told you last week that all sin is definitely evil, but all evil is not sin. Evil is the genius of Satan. The most evil thing in the world is organized religion. You don't believe that? Who do you think it is that's blowing up our soldiers in Iraq right now today? That are killing our soldiers in Afghanistan? It is organized religion. It is a religious war. It is a holy war. And Satan sponsors organized religion. And anyone who thinks that God ordains them to kill people and murder people, to manipulate people, they have bought into evil, the evil genius of Satan. Now, is it a sin to kill the enemy in battle? Absolutely not. No American soldier is ever sinning when he kills the enemy in battle. But is it a sin to murder? Yes, it is. Some people say, well, doesn't the Bible say thou shalt not kill? It definitely it does. But the word used there, the Hebrew word ratak, is not killing, it's murdering. God doesn't authorize or sponsor murdering. In Proverbs 6:16 and 17, the Bible even lists seven sins that God hates, so to say, using an anthropomorphism, but murder is one of those, but God doesn't hate killing the enemy in combat. And any American soldier that goes into combat and kills the enemy, he's not going to go to hell for that. He is doing exactly what the Word of God tells him to do. And that is that all freedom comes through military victory. And God ordains the military. And God protects our country because he gives us a strong military. And whether you like our president or not, whether you like what our president, any decision that our president makes or not, you have to support the military and the troops because they are paying the price and they're laying their life down. But evil, now the evil genius of Satan, oh man, when it comes to the military, well, you'll hear people, well, you shouldn't serve in the military. You shouldn't do this and you shouldn't do that. Listen, this whole thing started all the way back with Moses when they came to the promised land and two tribes did not want to go over the Jordan River and they didn't want to fight for the promised land. And Moses said, you better go over and you better fight because if you don't, you will sin and your sins will find you out. Now, if you don't want to live over there, you can come back and live on the other side, but you're going to go in and you're going to help us claim the victory. And so evil says, well, it's a sin to fight. It's a sin to be in the military. It's a sin to kill the enemy. No, it's not. That's evil. That's the genius of Satan. So we've been talking about evil and how deceptive evil is. We've been talking about Satan's arrogant policy, how he makes evil sound so good, and how he makes good sound so evil. Remember, there is a difference between human good and divine good. Let me explain. Human good, that is your effort to approbate God. Divine good, that is God satisfying his own righteousness and justice. You see, under divine good, Jesus Christ went to the cross and paid the penalty for our sin. And he that knew no sin was made sin for us. Human good, that's you trying to buy God off by being good, by being nice, swell, sweet. See, you buy into the lie. You follow the organized religion evil thing. That if you're good enough and nice enough, and don't treat people bad, well, then God maybe might let you go to heaven. That's not what the Bible teaches, not even close to what the Bible teaches. So Satan's policy is anything that distorts the grace of God. And that's why God called Satan the evil one. Yes, he was. Now, you got to understand, a lot of people will tell you things like this. I've heard people say this statement before. If Jesus Christ is not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. And oftentimes they'll say, well, I know that person went forward in church, and I know that person asked to be saved, but they really didn't get saved because look at their life. They didn't make Christ Lord of their life. Listen, Jesus Christ is Lord. You can't make him Lord. That's a cliche way of putting it. That's a way of saying, well, the person must not have really got saved or they wouldn't do those sort of things. Have you ever read 1 Corinthians chapter 5? Have you ever seen what Christians are capable of doing? Do you know how Ananias and Sapphira died right on the spot? And that's not 1 Corinthians 5. That's another passage. Hey, they lied to the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 5, a man in the church was involved in an immoral, adulterous relationship with a stepmother. He was in the church. He was saved. You can read it yourself. 1 Corinthians 5, 1-5, and see what the Bible says about that. Now, listen, Christians can do some pretty stupid things. And the dumbest thing they do is when they distort the plan of God and say, well, maybe he really didn't get saved, even though he asked God to save him, even though he wanted to be saved. Well, if he had really gotten saved, he wouldn't go back and do some dumb things again. See, Satan can distort salvation. He really does. He tries to get people to, you know, like suggest that you aren't really saved if you don't walk the aisle. You aren't really saved if you don't get baptized. Or you aren't really saved if you didn't give your life to Christ and weep tears of repentance at the altar. If you didn't really feel sorry for all of your sins, blah, 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 blah. You see, if Satan can convince any unbeliever to add anything other than faith alone in Christ alone to salvation, then that person is putting works with grace. And I have news for you. Works cancels grace every time. It isn't works plus grace. It is, for by grace are you saved through faith, and it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone would brag about it. And that's a direct quote out of the Bible. So, you can buy into Satan's evil propaganda instead of securing your soul forever through believing in Jesus Christ. Satan's lies about salvation are heavy, and they can sink people into hell real quick, because faith alone and Christ alone is the only way of being saved. And if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, then Satan has failed to convince you of this lie about your salvation. And you did believe God the Father when he declared that Jesus was his son. And as long as you're alive, Satan will never stop bombarding you with lies about everything. And remember now, his lies sound really good because they're evil. They sound close to the truth, but they are not the truth. Let me give you some examples of the grace policy of God compared to the satanic policy of evil. Listen to how close they sound. You see, God says you should have no other God other than he. And that's found in Exodus chapter 20, verse 3. But here's what Satan would tell you, and I hear it every day. All religions believe in an equally important God. So no religion is better than any other religion. You must be tolerant of all religions. How can you know which one is right? You mustn't offend anyone. You must respect everyone's God. That is the position of evil. That is not what the Bible says. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. And that's why it's faith alone in Christ alone. Listen again. God says that he has provided the only way of salvation, John 14:6. And if you don't believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're going to spend eternity in the lake of fire, John 3:18. But now Satan will tell you this. Listen carefully. You've heard it before. How could a loving God throw his creatures into hell? Hell doesn't really exist. Hell couldn't exist if God truly loved me. And he does, by the way. So the lie of Satan says, if you're nice, if you give some money, if you say enough prayers, if you live very sparsely, you know, if you think really, really good thoughts, and you light some candles, and you're baptized, and you make Christ Lord of all, that you're going to go to heaven. You see, these are all cliches. These are all terminologies. These are the very things that used to run me away from wanting to have anything to do with God. These are the things that offended me when people said, well, you want to go to heaven? Well, you got to do this, and you got to do that. And then I heard the truth, that Christ did it all. He paid for all of my sin. My sins are not even an issue anymore. The issue now is, what think ye of Christ? Who is he? And when the Bible says, whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord, he shall be saved, that's about as simple as it gets. The work is done. The payment was made. And by faith in the finished work of Christ, I can have eternal life. You know what? I'm not going to lose it either. Nobody's going to take it away from me. See, here is grace. God says once you're saved, you're never going to lose it. I mean, it's all through the Bible. Ephesians 1:13, John 10:28 and 29. But here comes evil. Listen to Satan. Oh, if you miss church. Oh, if you commit a really bad sin. Oh, if you don't really commit all of your life to Jesus. Or, oh, you might lose your faith after you were saved. Well, there's a verse for that. Even if we believe not, yet he God abideth faithful, because he cannot deny himself. Oh, people will say, oh, if you neglect to part your hair on the right side, then you're no longer saved. See the genius of Satan? Evil will have you do anything to approbate God. Evil will have you doing everything to earn your salvation. And grace says you can't earn it. It's paid for. It's all done. God says in grace he's done everything for you. In Colossians 1:16 and 17, the Bible's clear. By means of Jesus Christ, all things were made, and through him were all things made, and for him were all things made. But Satan's genius of evil will tell you that you must do things for God. You got to witness for Jesus. Go corner people. Get them at the basketball game. Get them at the football game. Whip out your Bible and preach to them and get them at the restaurant. You know, you got to go get them. Go get them and bring them in. And you got to have a supper and a class and a single class and an old class and a young class and a divorce class, because God helps those that help themselves. No, that's not what the Bible says. God doesn't help those that help themselves. That's human good. God helps the helpless. You cannot help yourself. You are lost in your sin. When you believe in Jesus Christ, the greatest thing you can do for yourself is to grow up spiritually, and don't stay a spiritual midget all your life and buy into the evil genius of Satan that will have you second-guessing God and doubting God all of your life and will have you turning away from truth. There are so many people that have turned away from truth because they've seen this phony baloney stuff for so many years, and they are appalled by it, and they're smart enough to know that it's not true. They're smart enough to know that it's all a game and a gimmick, and they, by the thousands, they shy away from the church because they're sick of it. Now, God says in the Bible that he will promote the humble believer. It's clear in Proverbs 3:34. He gives grace to the humble, but he makes war against the arrogant. That's not what Satan says. Satan, he's not interested in you having any humility. He's interested in you getting all the attention. He's interested in you promoting yourself. So in a church where Satan's policy of evil goes forth, it would be like, well, let's give a list of all the people who bring the most newcomers to church. Let's put your name up here if you give the most money. God bless you, brother. Stand up. How much will you give? $1,000. Praise the Lord. Everybody give Brother Smith a hand. He's going to give $1,000. Let's cover the walls and let's buy a window and put your name on it. And we'll put your name on a pew if you'll give some money. Every part of the church. Plaques honor godly men and women. Well, I mean, there's nothing wrong with putting someone's name on a pew or on a window if they did a right thing in a right way. Most of the time, it's just human good. Very few people understand you got to be in fellowship when you give something, or it's worthless. God can't reward you if you gave it with sin in your life, if you gave it with an ulterior motive, or if you gave it through approbation lust. And a lot of times, people do what they do to get the attention of God and even the attention of other members of the congregation. It's a sad state of affairs, but that's what evil does. God says that thinking is all important, and God says that emotions will distract you from executing your spiritual life in Galatians 6:8. Don't talk about the flesh. Don't say it in the flesh. Listen, don't lose heart. The flesh is your emotion. Here's something you got to understand. In organized religion, Satan will tell you that if you truly love God, if you truly love Jesus, then get emotional. Get high for Jesus. You'll get the rosy glow. You know, feel pious and true spirituality. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that you are to have the same mind in you that was also in Christ Jesus. The Bible teaches when God wants to look at you, he will look at what you're thinking, not what your emotions are doing. Your emotions will mislead you. Your emotions will distract you. Your emotions will lie to you. And worship of God is not emotion. worship of God, spiritual growth. Hebrews chapter 5 talks about growing up spiritually and getting the meat of the Word of God and understanding it. And yet so many churches today are nothing but an emotional temple where people come to get high on Jesus. And that's not what the Word of God teaches. God says His Word, the Bible, as recorded in the original languages, is inerrant, that it's infallible, that it's true, that it's unchanging. Psalm 119, verse 89. But here's what Satan will tell you. Satan will say, oh, no, the Bible is full of contradictions. We aren't really supposed to take those stories of the flood and the serpent and the cross and all those other Bible stories literally. They're not really true events. They were just meant to entertain you. Satan will tell you the Bible is outdated, unrealistic, unscientific, and you can't accept it seriously. If you do, you got to be a nut. And they will say, well, this is Satan's genius. We know so much more today than the people who wrote the Bible. This is the genius of Satan. God says that if we know Bible doctrine, if we know the Word of God, then if we know Christ, we will be set free, both as a nation and as individuals. Because in John 8:32, the Bible says the truth will set you free. But Satan says this, we are great when we promote the brotherhood of man. We're great when we embrace all religions, when we remove all risk, and when you got to take from the rich and give to the poor. You got to serve man who deserves it. Don't serve God, who may not even exist anyway. See, God says that we must have fellowship with Him if we want to have a walk with Him. But Satan says true Christian fellowship is getting together with other believers, talking about your problems, having a share partner where you can share your problems. Have a revitalization weekend. Go on a walk somewhere and get emotional and get alone and cry on each other's shoulders. Listen, that's the craziest thing that ever came down the pipe. You may have chuckled or felt a surge of anger at some of these goofy examples that I just gave to you, but how many times have these or other evil thoughts ambushed you and taken hold of you in a little tiny corner of your thought life? You see, you don't know unless you know what the Word of God says. And Satan is the master of defeat. You better be aware of that. You better beware of that. And you better learn the Word of God. That's why the Bible says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. You better get in a church where there's a qualified pastor that's teaching you the Word of God straight up with no games, no gimmicks, where you can leave there and felt like you've been fed. Your rate of learning the Word of God had better be greater than your rate of forgetting the Word of God, if you don't want evil grabbing the driver's seat in your soul. Listen to Jeremiah. But this is the doctrine that I explicitly commanded them, saying, obey my voice. That's the Word of God. And I will be your God, and you will be my people. And furthermore, you will live in all the ways I commanded you, and it will go well with you. But they did not obey, and they did not pay attention to me, and they followed their own counsel, and they lived in the stubbornness of their own evil thinking. That's the lie of Satan. And therefore they went backward and not forward. And they got worse instead of getting better. It doesn't take a genius to see that the United States of America is going backwards. All you have to do is look at the trends of history. Look at the trends of history, politically, economically, socially, and spiritually. Be a historian. We are going backwards. Spiritually, it's hard to find a church that teaches truth anymore, but there are more churches than have ever been. There's more games that have ever been played, more gimmicks than have ever been shown. Politicians, it's hard to find a politician with integrity. Economics, well, good grief. Your children are not even going to be able to afford a gallon of gas. By the time your children get to be your age, it's going to be $10 a gallon. They're not going to be able to afford a home. They won't be able to afford $1 million for a moderately priced home in 20, 30 years. Economically, we're in trouble. Socially, we're in trouble. One out of every two marriages ends in divorce. You have all sorts of incurable diseases that are rampant in America. You have more political agenda with the homosexuals and this and that and the other. going backwards. We're in big trouble because we bought the lie. Now listen, evil will lead you backwards in your spiritual life, and then it will enslave you. It's strange, but most people wouldn't recognize evil if it had green eyes and a pointy red tail. But Satan would never make it that obvious. So when we buy into evil and when we believe evil, when we go backwards in our spiritual life, we still refuse to turn out of our wicked ways, and we still refuse to learn God's will for our lives. You know why? Because evil sounds reasonable. I mean, it really does. And we find ourselves wanting to believe the evil doctrines that Satan gives because so many of our friends are enthusiastic about it. And so many rich and famous people support these ideas. And many of our leaders will tell us that all of this evil is really truth. So remember that much of the information disseminated over the airwaves, including television, radio, records, the internet, it's evil. Much of it is designed to gather your thinking and control your thinking and distort truth. Psalm 12:8 says, because baseness is exalted among men, evil struts around on every side. Now, I told you that evil is not always sin, but all sin is evil. I told you that. Remember, now let's compare truth of God's word to the sneaky disguises of evil. Shoplifting, for example, that's a sin as well as evil. But having a minister that asks for money to do God's work. You see, that's evil because God says that his word is to be given out freely. God doesn't authorize any preacher holding his hand out and asking for money. And God doesn't authorize any preacher writing books and selling it. What does the Bible say? You got it free, give it away free. What's wrong with us? Why can't we see that? Why is it that Christian books are the number one selling thing and every guy wants to write some book? Some Christian authors have written 20, 30, 40 books and they sell them for 19 bucks a pop and you run up there blindly and buy it. You don't realize they're under contract to these book companies to write so many books. Listen, if God's in it, he always pays for it. You don't have to sell anything. God says the word is to be given out freely in Matthew 10:8. Don't have the evil thoughts that you don't need to give money to the church. God demands that you give cheerfully, and God demands that you give willingly, if you're able, with a thankful soul. That doesn't mean you have to pay to be taught the word of God. Lying is a sin as well as evil. Sitting in church and not listening to the message of the pastor is evil. You're trying to fool God. You're trying to fool men. You're showing up and you're looking self-righteous and wonderful, and you put on your piety face, and you can fool men. But listen, God knows your heart. God knows what you're thinking. Murder's a sin as well as evil, because the sixth mandate of the Bible says you shall not murder. However, the Bible tells you there's an appropriate time to kill in Ecclesiastes 3:3, and that's when you're killing the enemy in battle. And the difference is that murder is unlawful, killing of a person. Murder deprives a person of their volition, and therefore it's evil. Murder disobeys the mandates of God, is a sin. But killing the enemy in battle, executing convicted criminals, taking the life of a criminal who enters your home and harms your family, that's not a sin. But that's what evil will tell you. Well, you don't need a gun. We should disarm all Americans. That's evil to the core. You know, I'm not a politician, and I'm not here to preach about political things, but these are just a few examples of the evil genius of Satan. Please stay tuned. Please keep listening. Next week, same time, same place, and we will continue our study about evil and the genius of Satan. Till next week, this is Rick Hughes saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write Rick Hughes, P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or on the internet at bigrick.org. Join us next week for another edition of The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes, on 960 WERC.